meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. Since it's Wednesday, that means you're with me, Father Tom Coy, so happy to be here. As always, bring my host of friends along and promise to once again wrinkle your brain. Indeed.
You just wrinkle my brain.
It's that time of week again. And so I really am excited about a new thinker that I've discovered on the block. I mentioned him a little bit before, and I'm going to try to get deeper into him. Guy by the name of Timothy Gordon has a very, very powerful book out called Catholic Republic, how America will fail without Rome. And by that, he doesn't mean we got to move the Pope over here. He means that we have to understand some very significant, uniquely Catholic ideologies make it concerted effort to try to hold on to them as they're being lost, and so we will go right into that. If you get my flock notes, the title of today's topic is evil genius, evil genius. How would the number one enemy of the Catholic Church has sort of, in a certain sense, checkmated us. And by the number one enemy of the Church, I mean the evil spirit, Satan himself, as it were, the one fighting for all ever since created or ever since kicked out of heaven, has been fighting the supernatural powers of God and his angels. But this time, especially perhaps we can say in relation to the prediction and the vision of the early 1900s with Pope Leo, and he wrote the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel and how the smoke of Satan would enter the church and how God, in a sense, played the role of God as he did in the book of Job in giving the devil time to do what he wants with Job, the 1900s, the 20th century. If you follow the words and the messages of Our Lady of Fatima as well as Pope Leo XIII, we'll see that God gave the devil 100 years. And to say something like the number one enemy of the church is an evil genius fits right into that whole scenario. And we are naive to think that there are not some very evil genius forces at work in and around us. So the worry, I guess you could say, that we all have.
My Lord, such destruction.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to prevent even more destruction, even though we can see much destruction. It's up to you and I, my friends, as we share our thoughts together.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. Yeah. Danger.
There is that danger we must be aware of. That's what I'm trying to say. Very good. Let me start off with it like this. Timothy Gordon is trying to shed light on something in our American history that has been deflected or even stolen or plagiarized, even uses the terms, which I think are somewhat apropos to it when you see the breaking, the founding of the United States vis-a-vis the American Revolution and the subsequent 200 years have been most incredible 200 years. The words of Benjamin Franklin, which are often quoted by some of our good conservative thinkers and speakers today, Benjamin Franklin said when asked, "What kind of government did you give us?" Said to his questioner, "It's a republic, if you can keep it," and so it is. And I think we need to appreciate a little more philosophically, a little more rigorously what the idea of a republic is vis-a-vis a democracy, because in the 1900s, especially since World War I, and when President Woodrow Wilson famously said, "We're going to make the world safe for democracy," we kind of have the idea that, of course, the United States is a democracy, and therefore the principles and the political philosophies we have, and that has made our land so good and so envious and enviable. Part of the reason why the immigration problem is such a problem is because the countries from which people are running away from are failures, and they need to run away from failed societies to a successful society. Why else would you do it? And those who are worried, especially about the future, are thinking, well, yeah, we're hanging in there, but we're slipping, we're going downhill, and therefore we got to turn the tide, or else this successful country won't be as envious as you thought it was, because we're going to be a third world country right along with you. And of course, a lot of people will say, "Ah, oh, that's just hogwash." But is it? That's certainly the important question. So, but to try to give an outline of what Timothy Gordon is trying to do, he says, well, first of all, we have to have this sense of the difference between a republic and a democracy. Of course, if you think they're the same, it's a basic lesson in political philosophy to know the difference. A democracy, quite essentially, is a society that's ruled by all the people. In other words, all the questions, all the controversies, and all the decisions that a society at large can and should and have to make would be made by all of the citizens. You know, so we would be voting for everything. Obviously, that's not what the United States of America is all about. And we have a republic, which is a representative. We vote for representatives who go to Washington or our state capitals and do the thinking and voting for us. It is definitely a republic that we have, not a democracy in that sense. And this appreciation of the difference is essential in the contemporary question that's being kicked around a lot today by Bernie Sanders-type political thinkers, namely that we need to do away with the Electoral College, people who see the tally of votes and see, oh, wait a minute, candidate A got a million less votes than candidate B, but candidate B won the race because he won more electoral votes. They see that as an abomination. They see it as an abomination because they don't understand the difference between a republic and a democracy. They want the democracy, they want America to be turned into a democracy. And the Electoral College is something that stands in the way of just that. And I for one, would say to give up the republic for a democracy would be a tremendous mistake in this day and age, this time. Can a democracy be a wonderful country, a wonderful way to live and to organize society? Well, sure it can. Though if you look over the course of human history, you don't find too many successful ones, primarily because getting all people to vote for everything breeds chaos quite rapidly. And of course, me voting for something that I have nothing, that I have no knowledge about is equally destructive to the vote. Do you get it?
You of just course. Wrinkled my brain, man.
Indeed. That is brain wrinkling stuff. So assuming that we accept the fact that the United States of America was founded as a republic and not a democracy, we're going to analyze a couple of things that Timothy Gordon brings to mind. That is what is necessary to make a republic work. So let me start off with this. He says, every American, whether you're Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, or atheist, is ideologically Catholic. Now, that sounds like a strange claim, doesn't it? A claim that may be unpalatable for many Americans, but I'm going to maintain that it's true. This is the case because we live in a republic, and all true republics need certain Catholic ideas. And when a republic denies the source of its heritage, like America has done, fatal problems ensue. Widespread immorality and tyranny, to name the first and the most important two. In reality, these problems are really just symptoms that the republic has become a non-republic. Only the true source of republican principles, which I'm going to argue is Catholicism, bears the answer to the problem underlying six American symptoms, to which I dedicate each of these chapters. So that's how he begins his book, and it's quite fascinating, to say the least. I want to say something where he mentions that America has denies its heritage. Now, a lot of people are going to say, "Wait a minute!" Many in the conservative right wing side of political debates today are quick to point out that America's founding was founded by Protestant Christian principles. And therefore, we need to get back to our founding Christian principles. And therefore, we will stem the tide or turn the ship around a bit, heading away from the edge of Niagara Falls to a port of safety, to use a nautical analogy there.
You're going
to
need a bigger boat.
We would need a bigger boat. Well, even a big boat over in Niagara Falls is not a very happy sight, shall we say. So there is a, I have to bring this to your attention too, because it was brought to my attention. And you know how I've often used one of the great voices on the radio today, Dennis Prager. I find he has many wonderful insights, and he's a good voice of clarity and reasoning to help reestablish the religious foundations of our society and in our life. And I often repeat that talking to some young people, I remember talking to a young college student who's going back to church after stopping his attendance at church, and I asked him what influenced him I was hoping he'd say I influenced him, but maybe I did, but I was looking for something else. And he said, two people influenced me to go back to my Catholic church, my mass, attending mass. Oh, who is that? One was Dennis Prager and the other was Jordan Peterson. Funny you should say that. There's something that Catholic evangelists from the top on down need to appreciate in that little insight, because it's those are not Catholic apologists by any sense of the name. They are Jewish conservatives, and so there is a sense of just political conservatism being a conduit of religious renewal. And Dennis Prager often has callers calling into his show that say, well, listening to you made me go back to my church. And he says, well, I'm glad. He knows that religion is such a significant part of our nation, and he's not out to make you Jewish. He says, if you were a kid and you were a Methodist, going back to Methodism, that's fine. If you're a Catholic, go back to Catholicism, that's fine. Now, Timothy Gordon's going to have a little bit of a problem with that, but as a step, as a step in the right direction, you can't deny it. But we want to go even further than a step in the right direction. We want to follow a path and a light that will truly lead to progress and not just return to the same kind of mess, which a critique of Americanism without Catholicism, how about that for isms, will lead to. Anyways, okay, so we're going to, I got to explain a little bit about what Dennis Prager did on his YouTube and his Prager University. That needs a little correction, my friends. I don't often like to criticize my heroes or when my giants fall. I need to point it out, and I think that's what happened at Prager University over Christmas. So anyways, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break here. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You are listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Kevin Matthews.
It's the Kevin Matthews Show.
Hey, now, baby!
Hey, Kev is back! Kev is back!
Hey, Kevheads, how are ya?
Kevin Matthews is back with Mike Stark Thursday, February 7th on Winds of Change. In his book, Kev speaks about his chance encounter with a broken statue of Mary found next to a dumpster and all that ensued from that point. Stop by noon Thursday, November 7th to Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. As promised, I'm leading you through brain-wrinkling history and an assessment of what is going on in our poor society today, and the rich blessings that come from faith in Jesus Christ, especially as given to us in what is known as Catholicism. How about that for a reintroduction? I'm quoting, I want to explain to you something that a young Catholic philosopher by the name of Timothy Gordon has been plugging, and want to pat him on the back as best I can, and to illustrate the fact that he's right in saying that America doesn't recognize some essential Catholic ideology within its founding is it's quite obvious. And I started to say I have to criticize one of my heroes, Dennis Prager, because in their PragerU, those wonderful 5-minute clips that talk about an unpopular, unpolitically correct perspective on what's going on in society today. Unfortunately, the one at Christmas time was an explanation of why and how Protestantism made America great. Now, I'm going to stand here with Timothy Gordon and say Protestantism without the added element of Catholicism would not have made America possible, let alone great. In a certain sense, the evil genius is at work again, trying to divide and divorce. I love C.S. Lewis's use of the term divorce. We recognize divorce as the great problem between a husband and a wife in a marriage situation, but C.S. Lewis uses that terminology, and I'm going to use it here, and I want you to think about it as well, in a broader sense, that the devil can separate two ideologies that go together, that should be together, two truths that should go together. He's trying to divide two of the good side of Protestantism and the good side of Catholicism can and should go together. We don't have to divide the two. We need to see what is good about the one and what is bad about the other, and what is bad about the one and good about the other. That's how I assess the ecumenical assessment of looking at history. But in that video on PragerU that aired right on, I think it was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, right over Christmas time, purported to say how the Reformation shaped your world. It was presented by Dr. Stephen Cornells, who's a professor at Wartburg Theological Seminary, a very obviously Protestant, ideologically Protestant and funded seminary. And he's trying to express the idea that the Protestant Reformation created the right milieu in which the United States of America would be founded, and we are living on the success of that created milieu, the environment created by the likes of Martin Luther and Zwingli and Calvin and Henry VIII and all the others, of course. How should I say? Now, I'm going to enter into a dialogue, a battle that I do not want to be a battle to the death. As I was trying to say, if a Protestant theologian is going to say, hey, look at America, how great is America, right? Well, America wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation gave the tools which made America possible. So therefore, we should be so grateful for the Protestant Reformation. I'm going to say, let's take a look back again. And without Catholicism, America couldn't have really succeeded. And Timothy Gordon, in his beautiful book, Catholic Republic, spells it out very, very well. Here's the here's the part of the essence of what goes on. He starts off right off the bat by talking about indulgences, of course, and the practice of selling indulgences, which he calls get out of hell free cards. And he says there's no scriptural basis for indulgences. Well, in fact, there are scriptural bases for praying for the dead, and especially one of the ones that comes to my mind, Maccabees, where the King David, not King David, the king himself, who's captain of the army, general of the army, takes up a collection to pray for the dead. But of course, Maccabees is one of the books that was ruled a non-biblical book by the Reformation reformers. And so, but there are other ways that you can point to in the Bible, like in the book of Revelation, that speaks of a second death that is after our first death, or the purification by fire that is required, or the idea that only the holy enter heaven. And unless you believe that everyone who dies in a state of absolute holiness, you are denying, you have to accept the doctrine of purgatory. So, but anyways, that being said, it goes going more to it instead of the issue of indulgences and purgatory. The relationship between authority and freedom is very, very important. The relationship between authority and freedom in the Protestant view of things, Catholicism, with its hierarchical system of authority, had to be completely demolished in order for freedom to reign. And of course, authority can and has been abused in many different ways. But the Catholic ideology that says freedom and authority are not enemies, they can be, they can go together very well. And as a matter of fact, as we think about being a citizen in any kind of country, in any kind of established political structure, you have to have a sense of authority. You have to have a respect for authority. And so the whole proposition of building up a republic like the United States of America has done depends on the ideology that freedom and authority are not enemies. You don't have to destroy hierarchy in order to attain freedom. But that's exactly what Protestantism did in Germany. It did it in England until it reestablished into a stronger sense, and it did it in France, and it does it in the United States.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, that's these are brain-wrinkling things. An email that I received in regard to the PragerU Christmas video called How the Reformation Shaped Your World goes on to say, the implication in this video is that Catholics were comfortable with tyranny, namely the papacy, not taking into account the anti-Catholic basis of the soon-to-be reformer British subjects who made an exception for Charles Carroll in spite of his faith. To that point, one could say that Jews and women were also comfortable with tyranny because there was not one signer in either of those categories either. The person who's critiquing Prager, the Prager video, goes on to say this, and I'm gonna twist it a little bit if I could. She says, I personally have no problem with the concept of different religious groups holding different teachings, and there is a place for sola scriptura, etc., debates. But what I find deeply troubling is that Dr. Cornils has been given a platform to school others on the evils of Catholic doctrine and history without ever once consulting an authentic Catholic source, such as the Catechism. She's making a fairly good point there in terms of how it is a platform to diss Catholicism. Perhaps I need to get on a plane and go out to the Prager University studios and give just exactly what needs to be given, namely the pointing out how Catholicism indeed was essential for the founding of the United States of America, how Catholicism and its appreciation, its ideology that authority and freedom are not enemies but can go hand in hand is essential for our world. And actually, the one thing she says that she has no problem with, she says, I personally have no problem with the concept of different religious groups holding different teachings. That's exactly the problem that Timothy Gordon says is at the heart of the Protestant ideology found in the fabric of the United States of America, namely that our love for freedom spills over into the First Amendment, I guess you could say, the no establishment clause, no established religion, allows the flowering of any and all religions to help shape the conscience of its followers. And that, in essence, is a very big part of the problem. In other words, the proliferation, the multiplication of various religions carries with it ultimate truths that teach and define moral codes and moral behavior. And therefore, when opposing moral codes are operative in a society, somewhere along the line, someone's going to feel unfairly put upon, and therefore conflict will arise quite rapidly. So let's see. I don't know if I was going to. I think I will. I think I'm going to go to this part. I'm going to shift a little bit here because the subtlety of what I just said, it needs to be underscored, and I'm going to shift to another one of my heroes, and I'm going to have to criticize another one of my heroes. And I'm speaking of the good Bishop Bob Barron, who has done, I think, a lot of admirable things for our Catholic faith and the Catholic Church. But he was on the Rubin podcast or TV show. I don't know if it's a TV show or radio or whatever. It's a podcast. David Rubin is, of course, maybe you know or not, he's a openly gay, secular fellow, though he comes out on some issues as being conservative, especially in the category of not being for changing state or federal rules to allow for same-sex marriage, even though he himself lives with his husband. He says it's not good to change the laws just for the few of us. We just have to have laws that allow the freedom of choice, but he doesn't have to get married, as it were. So anyways, Bishop Barron was on the Dave Rubin show with a rabbi. And what I got to point out, because this will bring us back to what Timothy Gordon is trying to explain to us, I find out, or we could see an inner contradiction in Bishop Barron's explanation, shall we say. First of all, David Rubin asks the two of them, what's the difference between Judaism and Catholicism? And the rabbi points out, for instance, how forgiving somebody, God does not forgive us, God does not forgive someone if we do not make restitution for our sin against the other person. And Catholics, he says, strikingly do believe that God can forgive our sins even if we haven't made restitution. So that, and here's, let me see where, and he's going to explain, he's going to say, oh, we're going to take a break? Okay, well, this will give me a chance to review the exact words that we're going to listen to, but we got to hear this, because this is very, very crucial in understanding the importance of what Timothy Gordon is proposing in his great, great new book. Anyways, stay tuned, my friends. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Kevin Matthews.
It's the Kevin Matthews Show.
Hey, now, baby!
Hey, Kev is back. Kev is back.
Hey, Kevheads, how are you?
Kevin Matthews is back with Mike Stark Thursday, February 7th on Winds of Change. In his book, Kev speaks about his chance encounter with a broken statue of Mary, found next to a dumpster, and all that ensued from that point. Stop by noon Thursday, November 7th, to Winds of Change.
On AM 750 WNDZ.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coyes here with you, hoping to bring some peace in enlightening our minds, giving us the sense of truth that that brings a sense of, yes, God is not abandoning us. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. We have to follow that light. It's not that we're just left in the darkness. We may not follow that light, but the light is there. And I'm trying to illustrate how important a new book out by Timothy Gordon by the name of A Catholic Republic is. And I had to highlight, or I had to criticize one of my great radio heroes, Dennis Prager, by showing how he falls into, well, he doesn't do it himself. He lets the Christians who are with him and support him do his dirty work for him, in a sense. I feel sorry that he doesn't have a good, strong Catholic theologian, Catholic thinker, as close as he does many of the other great conservative Protestant thinkers. But they were saying that America owes its greatness to Protestantism, and we should be very grateful for that. Timothy Gordon is offering a very opposing viewpoint, and I think it's very worthwhile discussing and seeing that being that Catholicism's principles are essential to the success of a republic. And there's two especially formative movements in the early days of the United States that are part of our destruction, or part of the destructive force and movement that's going on today. So in some sense, you could say, hey, look at America today, and you should thank Protestantism for it. And on the one hand, I say, okay, but maybe Protestantism is part of the reason why the society is going downhill so fast. And therefore, yes, I will give you credit for helping to bring down society. I don't want to go that direction, though, my friends. I like I said before, I want to pick the best of Protestantism and avoid the downfalls, just as I want to pick the best of Catholicism and avoid Catholicism's downfalls. And actually, the Protestant Reformation found almost all the warts and ugly side of Catholicism that it could possibly find. And for the past 500 years, we've been all the better for it in some sense. We have reformed a great deal. Now we're slipping into another era of corruption that we have to face and recognize. But here's the there's an internal contradiction that even a wonderful another one of my heroes, Bishop Bob Barron, he's talking on David Rubin's radio show, and David Rubin asks both the Jewish rabbi and Bishop Barron, what's the difference between their religions? And here's what Bishop Barron says. Let me see if I can get it for you here.
Difference. It's Christ is the difference. So I wouldn't want to reduce things to ethics. We find all kinds of common ground when it comes to ethics. But I'd resist the Kantian move to reduce religion to ethics. I mean, that's a dimension of it. It's a consequence of it. The difference is
there. So got to clarify what Bishop Barron was just saying. In trying to distinguish between religions, Bishop Barron says, I want to avoid the Kantian error, the Kantian propensity to reduce religion to ethics. And by that, I understand very beautifully what he means, because you can't say that Jesus Christ came just as a lawgiver in the sense that I'm going to teach you the moral code the way God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. But something happens where I believe he's being sucked in by the evil genius of the great divorcer. There's little that the evil genius of the evil spirits likes more than to divorce two people that belong together, two truths that belong together, two ideologies that belong together. He likes to create enemies where there were no enemies. And by something that Bishop Barron says just after he says that I don't want to reduce religion to ethics in the Kantian way, because he wants to say the main difference between Judaism and Catholicism is Christ. He even goes on to say, well, there's in the ethical sphere, there's much that brings us together. Now, on the one hand, I will say, yeah, at times that can be true, but at other times it's very untrue. It's not a slam dunk to say that ethics keeps us together, but our views of Jesus tear us apart. Is a bit naive in the sense if Bishop Barron really thinks that the ethical debates that varying groups of people across the spectrum of religious spectrum between Jewish, Protestant, Catholics, if Bishop Barron really thinks that it's the ethical issues of today are a common bond between us, I think he's either one, he doesn't believe I don't want to say it that way. He doesn't believe that some of the teachings of the Catholic Church are actually wrong. Like, for instance, the gay marriage issue or the contraceptive issue, artificial contraception being a wrong. I don't see how that ethical issue is uniting us today. I respectfully present to Bishop Barron to consider that we are not united in that ethical front. That we were more united on ethics, then perhaps our attitude, about, our different attitudes about Jesus Christ wouldn't we could live with a lot better. If I had a neighbor, for instance, who to paint with broad brushes here, if I had a neighbor who went to the same church as I did and worshiped Jesus as the Son of God, just as I did, but that neighbor believed in a different moral ethic, namely that he believes you could steal things from your neighbors, I would rather have a neighbor who didn't believe you can steal from your neighbor and perhaps didn't believe that Jesus was the second person of the Blessed Trinity. If the moral principles were more in harmony, shall we say, then the doctrinal questions about who God is and how God manifests himself could be accepted in a more friendly way. Fortunately, it's the opposite. It's the other way around. But and Bishop Barron sort of steps right into the mess. He contradicts himself almost in the very next sentence. So let's see. This is what he says afterwards. Remember, he just got finished saying that religion is not reducible to ethics. In other words, to know and find God is not just to know and find moral truths. And again, I want to say he's half right, but he's half wrong, and he steps in something that I think illustrates how genius the evil genius is. Well, here, let me point it out. Let's see. This is what he says.
But what is that? No, like? But the right answer is that they're already there. See, it's not that they're trying to get there. It's you've already been seized by God. If you've got that passion for justice, that's God already working in you, you know? So it's not so much the quest for God out there, but God's already grasped you at the root of your being and filled you with this prophetic passion. So I would say in a way he's already been found, you know?
Okay, so I got to explain what just went on there. The Jewish person, the Jewish rabbi, along with the gay secular host, David Rubin, we're trying to come up with a way that would make everyone happy in the sense that can we as a society build a kind of an ethical system that didn't have to revert to or resort to God? It pleased David Rubin the most, I think, because he was hopeful that our society could produce some kind of ethic. It sounds crazy, but I'll say it anyways. A religion that didn't have a God but had an objective morality to it. Because I think that's what a lot of secularists think they have found. They found a way of living life to be a good person. We don't have to worship a God. We don't have to ask for forgiveness from a God. We don't have to be grateful for our life that comes from God, et cetera, et cetera. The Jewish rabbi was quick to say that, yes, the law is so crucial and so essential, but Judaism is more of a people, a history, a story, a narrative, a language, and all that other good stuff, which is, in essence, kind of accidental to the meat and potatoes of a religion. It's the instrument that carries with it the truth.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit deeper.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That's it. And so, one more break here. Okay, then we're going to, I'll have to kind of play this other, hopefully you'll be able to see how Bishop Barron is, in a certain sense, stepping in it. He's contradicting himself in a way that Timothy Gordon will help us find the way forward in a truer way. Okay, so listen, I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Floors as low.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm trying to weave together a number of things here with you to wrinkle your brain, all in the interest of helping our nation pull out of a downward spiral, as it were, and especially with the real light of my faith, the Catholic faith, that holds some secrets that are not necessarily appreciated and given credit for. What I just played for you before the break, Bishop Barron was on David Rubin's radio show, TV podcast, whatever, and he was trying to explain both to the Jewish rabbi and to the secular homosexual conservative, that's how I'll call it, David Rubin, that there's this sense of God around there. And notice how he describes meeting God. You got to hear this again. Let's see if we can get it up again.
But what is that?
No,
like?
But the right answer is that they're already there. See, it's not that they're trying to get there. It's you've already been seized by God. If you've got that passion for justice, that's God already working in you.
Yeah, I got to stop there. Underline. If you've got that passion for justice, you already have that God in you. Now, I need to send out a little alert or a special warning flag to Bishop Barron. Justice is a moral virtue. If you are passionate for justice, and of course that's a politically correct thing to be for. everyone, it's okay to show you have a political passion for justice. It's not okay if you have a political passion for the right to life, which those of us who believe in the right to life see it as a passion for justice, though we are told it's not just, it's unfair. But the point I'm trying to make is that Bishop Barron seems to self-contradict himself. On the one hand, he's saying, I don't want you to think of religion, i.e., the institution that carries with it God. what is the institution of religion supposed to bring you? It's supposed to bring you God. And he's saying, I don't want that to be reduced to morality, ethics. And then in the very next breath, as they're discussing about sort of like what has been classically termed the anonymous Christian, when asked, as a matter of fact, I think part of that question that was asked of the Jewish rabbi was, according to Catholic thinking, is the Jewish rabbi destined for hell? Since I don't know Christ, and there's only one way to heaven is through Jesus. They're trying to come up with a anonymous Christian sense. And the Jewish rabbi says, hey, well, I follow God because I try to be a good person. I try to be an ethical person. And so is that the God that you worship? And Bishop Barron says, well, it's not that your God is somewhere out there. It's in the very passion for justice where you meet God. And here is the antidote to the evil genius of the evil one trying to divide two things that should go together, two truths that should hang together, just like two people should hang together in a physical, biological marriage. The divorce of two people is the separation of two people that God wants together. The creation of chaos is when the devil helps us separate two truths that should go together. And the ethics of God, the goodness of God, the distinction between good and evil is part and parcel with Jesus Christ or any of the senses that we have of God. So we're going to have to come back to this, as always, as our time runs out. But thanks for listening, my friends. You have been listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.